Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me is the one and only Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you? I'm doing pretty good. I've been in the fetal position since Family Karma. Family Karma last night took that a little hard. So, yeah. You know, there's something that opened up. So thanks for opening that can of worms, you fuckers.
Yeah, I've like only just now stopped crying. I'm like, I'm finally able to podcast. I was like a mess. I was an absolute mess with Family Karma. I knew it was going to happen. I could sense it all episode. I'm like, I know I'm going to cry. But I was like really a mess. And then I like went on to Facebook and looked at what people were writing. And everyone's like, I'm a mess. And everyone was like a mess. So then that made me a mess too. Because I thought about other people crying. And that made me cry. I had like this weird like
the group cry. Yeah, it's like in Stand By Me when one person throws up. And then the next person throws up. And then everyone in the stadium is throwing up. You know, it's like that. But, you know,
it's like my eyes were barfing. And so, I mean, this sort of happens to me. Like, I remember when Toy Story 3 came out and I like sobbed uncontrollably after that. And then the next day I was reading reviews about it and I started to cry again because I was crying on behalf of the reviewer who said he cried. So who knows? Yeah, see, maybe I'll cry during this recap.
That's actually why I was surprised that I got upset, because I remember Toy Story 3, and that was one where literally everyone and their dog was like, oh my God, Toy Story 3. It's like, I'm into adulthood and your childhood, and like, I'm a grown man, and I cried. And then I went to it, and I was like, oh, fuck all these wussies, you know, I ain't crying. And I didn't. I was like, this is dumb, okay? This is stupid. And then, so I thought it would be this. Like, I literally thought of Toy Story 3 going into this, because I was like, oh, sure, I'm going to cry, huh? Oh, really? Who cares? My typical cynical self. And then you take me from a Wendy sandwich request from a grandfather to this. It's like it had all of my trigger points in one episode.
It's true. It was a lot of triggers. I mean, it really was so beautiful. And I don't even think that it was just being a gay man that like I was crying on behalf of that. I think it was actually just the devotion of these parents to their child's happiness. And I think also just how real it was. I actually felt like it was one of the most real moments we've ever seen on Bravo. It felt like truly one of the most powerful things. I watched the first 2 minutes of Watch What Happens Live, and Andy Cohen said he thought it was one of the most powerful scenes that's ever been on Bravo. And I actually kind of agree with him. Of course, it was kind of funny because it was like Garcelle Beauvais and then Amrit and then Nicholas as the guest bartender. And it's just like funny, the segments, like how they have to pivot between these topics, because it's like, hey, Amrit, how was it coming out to your nanny? That was pretty hard, right? And it's like, well, you know, it's baby steps, you know, it's hard, da 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 da. And Garcelle, so what do you think about Erica, fraud or not? It's just like this deeply personal thing with a tabloid.
All right, now let's play a game. Which Bravo personality would look better with their penis as their nose? All right, let's look at penises on noses.
Hey, Amrit, okay, now that you've come out of the closet, we want you to come out of the closet with your thoughts on how big were Nani's boobs 30 years ago? Okay.
Nani's boobs, real or not? Real or not, guys?
No, but I was like totally blown away. Like, and it's funny because the rest of the episode was kind of just like pleasant, but nothing happening. It was like Diwali and like dancing and like it was like fun, lovely, you know, home videos, right? But like not much was happening. But I was in my mind, I was like, please just take us to that scene they've been showing us in the trailers all season long of Nani kind of like lurched over being like, ah, what does my very straight grandson have to tell me right now?
Yes. Okay, so let's go ahead and go through this, shall we? Shall we, Ben?
Yeah, let's do it.
So we open up with, you know, like you said, it's not that nothing happened. Like, it's a really fun show to watch. But it's kind of the Muppet Babies of Bravo shows, you know? Like, there's the Muppet Caper, which is, like, gritty. That's like the Al Pacino. It's, like, adult and, like, gritty stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Rats. Rats on pieces of toast sliding around a flat top grill in a diner. You know, it's like grit. It's like street grit. And then you get this, which is like every, you know, diary room session. It's like, oh my God, you guys should call your moms and see what they think about the holidays.
I know.
Call your moms.
It's like, it's such a lovely, fun show. And I think actually the season's been really good. But this was like an episode where... It was an episode where they clearly wanted to make this about family, and I think they actually didn't want to detract away from this very powerful thing that was happening. So they didn't really clutter it with a normal, with too much drama. It was more about like community and friendship and whatever. So it starts off, we're in like, it's Diwali time, and it's Diwali, right? But it's spelled Diwali.
It's spelled Diwali, but they pronounce it Diwali.
Okay, that's, I just wanted to confirm because I'm like, for some reason, I had self-doubt, and last thing I needed to be is to, you know, be like, it's called the Lapa-Bapa-Da, and people are like, Ben, no, that's not how you say it. No, so Diwali, so Anisha and Brian are talking about, you know, all the days that lead up to Diwali and everything, and they can't remember all the days, so Brian calls his mom, and she goes down a list of days. it's just, you know, a microcosm for the episode.
And I liked it. And she's like, yeah, you know, she's on Google right now because this is bullshit.
She doesn't know
all this.
Yeah.
So then we go over to Brian and Anisha hanging out today, and they're meditating. She's learning the four breaths. And she's like, wow, do you do this with Dr. Monica? Because, like, I feel like $1 million. And he's like, yeah, you know, our moms are... he talks about how Anisha and him are friends because their moms are so close and they watch all the same soap operas. And then we see the moms talking about their soap operas and they're like, these are intense. You know, the women get mad and then they just shoot the guy in the balls, like castrating him. And I was like, yeah. Are you going to mention what that is or am I going to have to search Reddit to find this show? Because this is what I need.
I thought she said it was called like Senora something or other. But she also, Dharma was like, oh. Senora
something or other. That's a soap if Ben ever writes a telenovela.
Senora something.
It's going to be Senora something or other.
It's going to be about like several middle-aged women who can't remember the names of things. Like, so I saw Nancy over at...
that you know, someplace or other.
Someplace you know? Or another with Fritz. Mm-hmm. And what were they doing? You know, I can't remember because I actually saw a sale on figurines and I got totally distracted. It's like you think it's going to be a big scandal. And every episode is just someone getting distracted by cherubs. So, Dharma's like, oh, did you see that TV serial Power? Oh, you have to see it. Oh, please watch it. I'm like, I love that Dharma is into the show, like the 50 Cent show on Stars, where he showed his dick. Like, that's not the show I expected her to be into.
He showed his dick on there?
It was a whole thing where, like he didn't think his dick was showing, and then
he pulled a Sharon Stone. Where he was tricked into it.
I've looked at the clips.
Ooh, I'm gonna watch Power. I'm adding that to my TV list.
Mary J. Blige is Power. And Randall Emmett. Randall Emmett produces it, I think. So, you know, that's exciting.
Money by Monday, bitch.
So then, and now Anisha's talking to Brian about some ritual that she learned about rubbing an egg all over her body and then going to an intersection, four-way intersection, and then tossing the egg in the direction of a place that you're never going to go to. So she's thinking about like throwing it at a jail somewhere. I'm sure the people who work at the jail are like, great, someone's throwing eggs at us again.
Yeah. This is not a good thing to teach your children, by the way. Okay. Like, we see these families doing really good job raising their children, but teaching them to take an egg to rot in some neighborhood that's not yours, it's not great. I'm going to say it right now.
Yeah.
Not great. Okay. Litter something better. You know, it's like, this is probably some poor neighborhood. Okay. They're taking enough crap. And now they're like, what is that smell? Does anybody know what that smell is? And now they're calling the city. Not cool, guys.
Yeah, seriously. And also, so like, what does that mean to the people who live there? like,
yeah, that's so what no I'm one saying. Wants it's to like, visit us? You're taking the bad energy. You're taking the bad energy off of you and throwing it onto another neighborhood. Like, what the hell is that?
What about the poor family that just closed on a house? Like, oh my God, we finally got our dream house. But everyone's throwing eggs. Wait, no one wants to come here? What's wrong with my house?
You've just victimized some new family. And then you've given them their problems because you rubbed your problems off and you threw it at this family. And now this family is like, oh my God, I'm never going to get married. Oh my God, it's Q4. Oh my God, my girlfriend's a doctor and I'm just a financial advisor planner.
You know, somewhere Gail Simmons has set up a haunted house just so she can collect eggs off the lawn.
Gail's just sitting there with a jar of mayonnaise to make some deviled eggs.
She actually just sets up a slip and slide and covers mayo on it and just waits for the eggs to fall.
So, they talk about this ritual, and then we see them walking to, Anisha and her mom walking to this pond and just throwing their egg in it in a random neighborhood. And it has to be at a four-way stop, too, which I liked.
Yeah, and it can't. And the thing is that so Anisha and Brian are talking about this, and then Chitra comes downstairs. She's like, "No! You did not get this right. Okay, I overheard you because I always eavesdrop. Okay, I overheard you because I always eavesdrop. No, you didn't overhear. You listened.
Yeah, they show her standing at the.
She's standing over them.
Yeah, she's standing over them upstairs, listening to every single thing.
But yeah, there's the egg ritual. So apparently it's actually a Cuban ritual that they learned from their makeup artist, and they can't close the Ziploc bag because then it traps the energy inside. But I'm like, is there anything wrong with leaving bad energy inside a Ziploc bag? I feel like that's like exactly where it should be in a Ziploc bag. Yeah,
that's what Ziploc bags are for, guys. And I like how they basically describe the makeup artist brainwashing them into it because she talks with her hands. I'm like, listen, she's a makeup artist. She talks with her hands. We have to do it. She's very convincing.
So then Anisha also brags again about teaching her mom WAP. And Teacher's like, no, I don't know what it is. I don't want to tarnish my impeccable vocabulary. I don't know. So then we go over to Bali.
Bali. And we get Bali's Bali's Chiron. Floral sales and marketing.
Yeah. So she's at a jeweler because 2 days before Diwali, one of the days you celebrate your wealth or whatever, but you give loved ones metal. And she's like, my terrible ex who I used to be married to. So he got me a frying pan. That was the metal he got me, a frying pan. Yeah. I'd be like, sweet. Awesome. Thank you for the pan.
You're the only wife in America who would be like, wow, I got some high quality nonstick for this holiday.
Catch those eggs.
Well, because of COVID, like my current guy, I forget his name right now, because he doesn't have a Chiron with his LinkedIn below it, so I've totally forgotten his name or what he does, but I'm going to be able to pick out my own gift because he's not here, because COVID.
And then Amrit joins in, and they start looking at jewelry and stuff, and then Amrit basically tells Bali that he wants to propose to Nicholas. She's like, oh my God, is there a ring here that looks like tilapia? Can we get that for him?
What's your highest protein metal?
Yeah, he's like, yeah, do I have to get this for Nicholas? I mean, I don't like this holiday. Like, it's superstitious. I really don't even like gold. And she goes, this is a dumb conversation. And she just turns away from him.
So the thing is that Amrit has to tell his nani, aka his grandmother. Bali's like, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised by your nani's reaction. I'm sure it will be, you know, devastating, but then slightly warm at the end. So look forward to that.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, maybe she's right. And maybe she'll like celebrate it like every other grandkid she celebrated. I mean, you know, why wouldn't she celebrate me?
Well, like, what if she misunderstands? Like, if I go help you tell her, she might misunderstand and think that we're getting married. You know?
He's like, yeah. So she's like, you know, my first engagement, like, we were moved in and married in, like, 6 months. And now, after 6 years with O'Malley, we still haven't moved in. And, like, I just don't want to mess up for the third time. We're talking about me now, right? Right, I'm right. We're talking about me.
We moved on, right? You know,
we moved on. Like your grandma might be mad at you, blah 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 blah. Can we talk about Amelie some more?
Yeah, your first marriage might have, you know, some sadness. My third marriage might not happen. Like, that's what's really important, right? I mean, I don't want him to just, like, look at me one day if I move there and go, like, you're not that cute and you're not that fun and go back to Miami.
But you know what? We have great, great sex. Like, it's just, like, amazing. Like, sometimes it burns, but that's actually sometimes when I realize I'm just, you know, incorporating the frying pan into the mix, but like, it's great. I love O'Malley.
The frying pan.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's move
what
on.
The hell? Yeah, I moved to a really weird place.
Some of that frying pan kink.
Wow. Okay, so Richa and Vishal. Okay, now this is the couple. We know they're this kind of couple. And we've said it many times where they're like, fight, fight, fight. And then they make up. And it's just as intense when they make up. Like, them getting along is too intense. This too intense for the TV. You know, she's like, ha, ha, ha. He's like, ha, ha, isn't she sexy? Ha, ha, ha. It's like they're so intensely all over each other now. I would rather them fight.
But they also have, like, really annoying badinage. Like it's... You know, like, they're sitting together on the sofa, and Rich is like, why are you touching me so much? And Vishal goes, why are you sticky? Oh, my God. It's repellent for you. Oh, my God. I'm like, okay, this is not... Can we please, like, get Nancy Myers in here for a rewrite between these two? This is not the cute banter I'm looking for.
So they're telling us about the holiday, and then we kind of... move into everybody talking about the holiday. Chitra's saying, oh, we light the whole house up with lights and people buy new clothes and you clean the house. Okay, well, we clean every day. But this is a deep cleaning, a very deep cleaning.
I love that. The holiday for deep cleaning. So Monica, and then we cut to like this random shot of Monica being like, hey, Dad, what's for dinner in Diwali tonight? And he goes, Mexican pizza.
I love him.
He's so sweet.
And so I love then we his go to Amrit's
and foods.
Yeah. And then we go to Amrit's and Nicholas's family, and Lavina is telling them what all the food symbolize. Milk symbolizes purity, honey is for sweet and kind speech, and protein is for Nicholas. you know how it goes.
Yeah. And then Dylan
Friday's deltoids, Nicholas. Okay. In this household, we never fail to celebrate leg day. That's what I'm saying, Nicholas.
You know, the best part about Diwali is that we can show you the way. The whey protein, that is. So
the whey.
He's like, I love this holiday. So, and then Dylan's like, yeah, you know, we worship women. Like, God is women, many women. So Ariana wasn't the first.
Oh my God, Ariana Grande, would you please enunciate your words? Or I don't know what you're saying. Music.
Have a hook.
She makes me crazy. And my friend Trisha pointed out to me that she never enunciates. And now I cannot unhear that. You know, I can't just suddenly pretend I understand the words. And no, so every time she comes out with a new song, Trisha texts me, what is she saying? And she just sent me one the other day. It's like,
I know. Or that one song, what was that one where it's like, thank you, next, where she's like, she just basically saying moo moo over and over again. Although I did watch a video of her like 2 days ago singing Suddenly Seymour, which apparently she does this all the time, but I just saw the most recent version of it. I mean, and it was like amazing. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I'm not a big Ariana Grande fan, but she has an amazing voice, and the Suddenly Seymour kind of did rock my world, except for the guy who was Seymour. I was like, who are you? Why are you trying to sing along with Ariana Grande? Just let her do both parts at this point. Let her slur through both parts.
Well, it could have been Frankie, you know, always count your blessings.
Apparently it often is Frankie. Oh, someone tweeted that, like, apparently this is like Frankie and Ariana's song.
Oh, good. God help us.
Did I tell you, like, in 2019, pre-pandemic, that I actually went to a Madonna concert, and Frankie Grande was in the audience, and Madonna, like, went and, like, walked up to him and, like, sat on his lap and, like, did a whole bit with Frankie Grande, and I was so furious. Not right.
Never let it go. Not yeah, right. I don't blame you. Okay, so let's see here. So, proteins for Nicholas. And so we see the grandparents, Goba, mm-hmm. and they're talking. He's over at Chitra's, and the dad's like, "Do you remember your first Diwali?" And he's like, "No." And Chitra says, "Oh, he only remembers what he wants to remember. He never forgets on Saturday to bring his chicken. He needs me to bring his chicken."
And I was thinking, oh, she's going to make some sort of like chicken tikka masala or something like that. But then we see the email and it's like, "My dear Chitra, if you are coming tomorrow with vodka, you may bring from Wendy's spicy crispy chicken sandwich as per attached APA." It's like a very formal all caps because, you know, like that's like grandparents do all caps email with an attachment of the crispy chicken sandwich from Wendy's just to go along with the vodka.
So funny.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So she's like, "So what do you think of Anisha hosting Diwali at her house this year?" And he's like, "She cannot postpone getting married. She cannot do this." And she's like, no, listen, I'm having a baby in 2 years, no matter what. I'm doing this. And then she tells us her list of who she thinks is going to get married in which order. Which I didn't write down, honestly, because I don't care. Listen, I don't care with my friends. I certainly don't care with yours. That's not even a conversation with my friends. Like, oh my God, who's going to get married first? If we do that, it's like, oh my God, which one of us is going to get tricked into this bullshit first?
Yeah, I literally never, I didn't care either, but I wrote it down. But I also, like, I'm like that too. Like, I don't care. If anything, I usually ask the question in like a sense of dread, like, who's going to get married first, and which is basically the countdown to when you never see them again, right?
Yeah, with my friends, it's like, oh my God, who's the first one we're going to have to take to AA, you know? It's like, okay, let's prepare the trips.
Right. So, the grandma's basically telling Anisha, like, you should have at least two babies. She's just like, okay. And then the grandfather, she says something about 40 years. What was that about?
Let me see here. Grandpa, I'm having a baby in 2 years. Oh, he says, well, how long are you going to wait? Another 40 years?
Yeah, and she's just like, she'll be 76 by then. So then Richa, meanwhile, is going to be heading back to Memphis soon because she's been in Miami for 5 weeks, apparently. Which, by the way, we're having this whole like lovely Diwali episode with all the families. Where is Lopa? Does she just have to like leave town during sacred holidays? They're like, we cannot have the devil here. Send her back to Memphis.
I don't know. This episode could have used a little Lopa for sure.
It could have used
really in every episode. I mean, they should put her on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, as far as I'm concerned.
You want to know about violating? Aren't they about violating? You have a pussy son-in-law to be. That's violating.
Yeah, she can be like the new Heather Locklear, where they used to put Heather Locklear on every dying show to revive it, you know?
I would love to see Lopa in the just with Heather Locklear's hair. Just like, and guest star Lopa.
Yeah. So Richa and Vishal are talking about how their relationship is looking up because they've actually been spending time together. He's like, yeah, our relationship for the past 48 hours has been perfect. Okay. It's been amazing.
Yeah. And Vishal, he wants Amrit to tell Richa about like his plan to propose. So he tells Richa, and she's like, "Oh my God, don't tell me these things. What if I just scream? Oh my God!" And then it turns out that she actually knew all along because Vishal already told her. And Amrit's like, "Oh wow, she acted so surprised."
Yeah. So he's worried about telling his parents that he's going to tell the grandma, I guess. So. He's like, you know, I know this. Oh, no, because
yes.
What is this? This is a lot going on. I'm sorry. We're skipping from party to party and I'm getting confused.
And there's a lot of people. So Amrit then now decides he's going to tell his dad that he's going to propose. So he pulls his dad because Nicholas is there and Nicholas is hanging out with the mom, Lavina. And so Amrit goes with his dad to the living room and he's like, "Hey, dad, so, I'm going to propose to Nicholas. And Zed's like, oh, good. Oh, really? Good. Good. And he's like, yeah, I want to tell you and mom together, but I didn't know how to get a hold of her. And he goes, okay. And he just turns and goes, love, honey, come over here. Honey,
come here.
Which is like such a parent thing, right?
Yeah.
I just love that Amrit is like stewing, like, how am I going to get both my parents? And dad's like, get over like, here.
Honey. Yeah. And then he's saying, oh, mom, just come over here. We want to talk about the significance of these flowers for the holiday. And just like a mom, she goes over there and starts going through all the flowers.
She starts poking through all the flowers. Like she has like this look of concern, like, oh, well, you know, this has to be discussed.
Yeah. And he's like, mom, but not really. I'm going to propose to Nicholas. And she's like, already? I need some sleep aid. I need sleep aid.
It's like, aren't you happy? She's like, well, you know, I start to think, you know, like if it were a regular girl, I would think like, I mean, don't you have to ask his parents first? Like she's basically terrified of her mom. She's already thinking, oh my God, what's my mom going to say? What am I going to do with this? You know, she's already right. going through that whole thing.
Yeah. And she's like, but how are his parents going to feel? And he says, mom, his parents aren't into this. They're not even going to come down. I mean, come on. And she's like, but is it a proposal? And he's like, well, what does that mean? And she says, well, it feels different. You know, when Roy proposed, it was to a girl, you know, and then there were families involved and we planned it together.
And the dad's like, why is it different? And she's like, well, you know, her family knew about it and we knew about it. And yeah, we were planning it together. And Amrit's like, well, you know we have hurdles to cross in our relationships and we're going to make it up as we go along because they're basically it'll be the first gay Indian wedding in this community. And there's no template. So they're just going to be creating the template for younger generations.
Yeah. And so he goes, you know, we just have to take this next step. And the mom's like, we have to tell Nani. Like, here we go. And he's like, yeah. It's going to be weird. But and the dad's so sweet. He's like, listen, we're going to do this. Remember what I told you? We're always behind you, no matter what. Easy or difficult, we're going to come to terms and we're going to face it. So don't worry.
Yeah. And Lavina is so nervous. She's like, you know, Nani is old and vulnerable. And, you know, but it's interesting because at the same time, like this, it's interesting because it's like the parents are in the closet, right? Because this is like a burden to them. They on the one hand, they don't want to tell her because they're afraid that it's going to like damage her somehow. But on the other hand, not telling her is like a big burden on them. And they don't, you know, so they're weighing these.
Well, it mirrors the experience of coming out, right? Like yeah. You first have to be accepting. You have to first admit it to yourself. You know, then yes. You have to be like with some level of acceptance with yourself. And then it's like, well, then what is everybody going to think? You know, yeah. And it's, yeah, it's totally mirroring the coming out experience.
It totally reminded me of, did you ever see that movie, that Ang Lee movie from like the 90s? Was it Eat, Drink, Man, Woman? About the gay couple and gay couple, white guy and a Chinese guy. And then his parents are coming over from China and they're pretending to like not be a couple and like how to deal with the parents and all that. Do you ever see that movie?
No, but I did see The Birdcage. If that helps.
Recommend both movies.
Recommend Crouching Drag both. Queen, Hidden Dragon.
I'm not gonna spoil what happens in Eat, Drink, Man, Woman, but there's a lot of parallels in this one. But it's about like, you know, generational issues with these things. So anyway, now we move to another fun segment. It's like, hey, can we talk about the statues in the Patel house? And they're just talking about the statues again. They sort of touch on this every episode, I feel like.
They're very proud of their statues, that family. they love their damn statues, okay? So then we go to Vishal and Richa showing up to the party in full garb. You know, everyone's like all decked out. And he's talking about how beautiful.
I have to interrupt this podcast. The most amazing thing just happened while we were recording. I just received a text. I'm going to read this text. Hey, are you Dalton? It's Manda. We spoke on Tinder last time. I went to see my aunt, but we didn't meet for lunch. I'm back in town right now. If you want to for sure go out while I'm here. Are you available? Manda thinks she's talking to Dalton. Should I respond?
Wow. Yeah, write back and say, yeah, I just need to tell you I have chlamydia.
I'm going to do it. I'll say, Hey, Amanda. Just a heads up. Got back.
Literally.
Got back from the doctors. And I have... I can't believe I'm writing this. Chlamydia. Is that cool? I'm being such a dick to poor Amanda. I'm gonna send it though. I have to. Like, it literally says Manda. It's not even Amanda. It's Dalton and Manda. Like Dalton and Manda. Okay, I'm gonna send it.
Hey, Manda, if someone's gonna be too lazy to type the A into their own name, then they deserve this.
Hey, Manda. Just a heads up. Got back from the doctors, and I have chlamydia. Is that cool? I sent it. Oh my god. Okay, I'll keep everyone updated for when Manda texts back, if she ever does.
Okay, well, hey, you gotta be honest.
I'm so glad. Imagine if it's Nani.
She's just gonna text back, I don't like it.
Should I write, off topic, did you see Family Karma last night? I'm gonna say off topic. Did you see? No, that'll be too obvious that I'm pranking her. I'll wait to see if she responds. I mean, if it's not obvious enough.
Okay,
Manda,
so
if
now...
you're listening, Manda, if you're listening, I just want to say it's all done in love. And I'm not Dalton.
Okay. That would be hilarious if she just happened to be a listener.
I mean,
wait a minute, guys.
Guys, they're totally, oh my god, this all makes sense now. Meanwhile, she's like, not only is she a listener, we're actually making fun of her voice. Like, imagine if she actually takes time out of her day to listen to this podcast that we put out and probably tells friends about it, and we're like, guys, it's Amanda. We're just mocking someone who...
your name is stupid. Okay, oh, so then, so they're showing up. Everybody starts showing up at this party, and I almost have a brain aneurysm because the screen just turns into names. It's like this person, that person, and then it's like a wall of names. It's like watching movie credits. All the credits that come on all the names that come on the screen.
It's literally like a cast reunion for Game of Thrones. Wait a second. Oh wait, she wrote back. She goes, oh, wow, this is mortifying. I dare he pass me the wrong num. I prefer to think he typed incorrect. Anyway, you know my name now and how I look like. What's yours? Okay, so she's probably scamming me right now, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
She's like this.
Are you just...
Oh, she sent a picture.
Are you just coming to that?
I guarantee the next picture... She sent a picture with like blonde hair and like glasses, and the next one's going to be like boobs. I guarantee... All right, that's enough, Manda. I know you're not real.
You should just text back, are you into Bitcoin?
No, I'm going to ask about Family Karma. I'm like, I'm going to say, hey, did you watch Family Karma last night? It was so good. you fake bot from Russia. Okay, I'm texting. You know, this is going to cost me like $5,000 or something, because I'm going to get scammed somehow. I'm going to be like, actually, guys, I feel really bad for Amanda. She's in a really tough place. I'm sending her some money.
I met this girl named Amanda. I mean, or Amanda. Like, it's so weird because she just got the wrong number, but then we became friends.
I know.
She meets up with her rent.
Oh, Amanda, you lovely, lovely fake girl who's probably going to send me something disturbing.
Okay, let's get on with this.
All right, I just want to say this. This is the thing that I really care about saying. The Patel's house looks like a La Quinta Inn. There, I said it.
Wow. All right, just look for it next time. Stab through the heart. You're like, ha, 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 and stab in the heart.
Look for it next time you watch the show. Just look, the exterior looks like there's probably like a, there might be a small conference happening there, you know? Mm. I guess they don't really happen looking to inns. It's like people who couldn't stay at the main hotel.
Sure they do. So everybody's getting to this party, and Monica comes with her dad, and he's so cute. He's in like a glitter top. which I really loved. In like his Las Vegas version of Diwali. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I really didn't know how people would treat me because of my divorce. But now that I'm here, it's like I never left. And he's like in this big glitter shirt. And so Amrit checks in with Anisha and she promises to get along with Monica and stuff. And so Brian's asking them about throwing the eggs and she admits that they threw it in some random pond, some random neighborhood pond.
Yeah. And Amrit then tells Anisha that he's going to go pop the question soon. And and then while he's talking to Anisha, Nicholas is just like sitting next to Vishal's mom, Reshma.
He's sitting with all the aunties, which
all
I love.
All the aunties, yeah. And he's just like hoping for a spare piece of tilapia to come tumbling his way. And so the aunties are like decide to plan the next happy hour. And someone's like, oh, let's do high tea. And Nicholas goes, high tea? Lavina goes, you're not invited.
So then fireball shots, because this is still Bravo. Okay. So then we see Kalpana dancing around with the bottles on, or a bottle on her head, which is like her thing, apparently. And Brian is talking to Vishal about Dr. Monica. And he's like, you know, it's just like, I would double date with you, but it's like really hard because I'm not sure how any of her friends feel about me because I'm not a doctor. You know, it's like the comparing game. And Vishal says, yeah, you know, and parents, like, I mean, no matter how hard you try, it's like not good enough for them. Like projecting his Lopa energy all over into everything.
It's like, no matter how hard you try by not, you know, getting married to the daughter for 9 years and just basically coasting off the mom, my mom's coattails. It's just never good enough. It's never good enough for Lopa. So Brian is like, yeah, no, it's hard. And they're like, well, when are you going to be like, when do you think you're going to be ready to pop the question? And Brian's like, well, I don't know, like probably like not for like a few more years, you know, because it's like Q4 and like it's like going to be Q4 for a few years. And it's like such a hard time. You know, am I right? Like Q4 business, right? Everyone, IT Q4.
And Vishal's like, I don't think that Dr. Monica wants to wait for that long. And he's like, well, yeah, because she did say to me that in the first year you should know. But, you know, I think it's 2 years. So, you know, I'm on track to make the decision in up to 4 years. But right now I'm at a 9.5 or 9.45 with Dr. Mon. Ugh. He's such a fuckboy, this guy.
He is.
And it's not just because he's not ready to jump into bed. It's just how he talks. Like, who wants to hear that? She's probably so pissed watching this show and seeing him go, yeah, I'm going to, like, 9.5, 9.45 with her. You know.
I feel like he's trying to be a fuckboy, but he's not a fuckboy. Like, I feel like he's, like, watching fuckboys on TV. Like, he went to BravoCon and, like, watched how Carl and Jax acted. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to try to act like them. But I don't think it's like authentic to him. I think he's just like trying to play that part, you know? So then there's dancing. There's speeches about being a better person. Like really nice, lovely stuff. And then we have like another kind of like jokey segment about the pros and cons of Zoom dating, which is, you know, it's like fine. So then we move on to now it's high tea. This high tea for the aunties. And so the women are arriving and Chitra loves it because it feels very Victorian in there. And they decided to invite all the dads, but the only dads that showed up were Raj and Suresh. So it's just these two dads. And, you know, Suresh is like, no, it's wonderful. I'm the only, look at all these beautiful women that I'm here with. It's just, you know, it's more for me, you know.
And then Bali shows up with like a poinsettia on her head.
I know. That's why I wrote like a pile of poinsettias.
Yeah. She's very like a Met Ball at high tea. Yeah. And she's like, if Liberace and some other really, really gay person had a child, it would be me.
Raj is like, tell me more. So then, and then one of the aunties is like, Auntie Bali, have a seat, which she just hates. She absolutely hates being called Auntie Bali.
Yeah, it's Kalpana. I love that she's always fucking with everybody.
Yeah, and Kalpana brought her own, like, pickle masala seasoning, which apparently she brings, like, literally everywhere she goes.
Yeah, her son's like, yeah, it gets a little embarrassing when you go to Japan. And she's like, but you wanted to eat it. And he's like, we didn't, Mom.
So they start talking about dating, and they're talking about Anisha's dating, and Chitra's telling them about how Anisha went on a Zoom date, and, you know, like, how Anisha froze her eggs, and they're wondering, like, Lavina's like, well, can the guys freeze their sperm? And they're like, no, that sperm's gonna work for a very long time.
Yeah. Chitra's like, so is Amrit going to get married? And she's like, nope. I've heard nothing. Bali tells us, yeah, I mean, I think those parents just might need a moment with that. And the producer asks her, isn't that his story? Like, is that why she's not coming out with it? Like, she's just going to let him tell everybody? And she's like, are you kidding? These are Indian parents.
Yeah. So, Lavina basically is also saying how she just is not going to let the cat out of the bag because her mind is racing. And because, like, she wants to tell her mom. And how if it were a girl, it'd be so much easier, you know, yada, yada, yada. But she's clearly just, like, very apprehensive about Nani.
Yeah, and some lady there who we don't know yet is like, well, you know, it's very different because it's different being gay. You know, just like it's different being in the community when you're divorced. And Raj is like, yeah, like me. Like me. No,
that was Bali's mom, by the way. That's when
oh, really?
Yeah, that was Bali's mom. And so that's, and Bali's like, yeah, hello, like being divorced twice. I'm going to center it on me again. And Raj is like, I will see that. And I'm going to say, and like me, also divorced and also divorced. That's all I'm going to add to that.
I would have totally stayed in that marriage if on the metal holiday I would have gotten a frying pan.
Oh my God, stop. You know, kids these days, they just don't even appreciate a frying pan anymore. Stop.
So then Bali goes, come on, Raj. I mean, you need someone to bang already. Like, are you dating? I mean, bang somebody. And Lavina goes, I don't know what bang is. I do not want to know what bang is. And Amrit's dad is like, it means bang. Go out and have fun. Bang.
Go crazy. So then Lavina's like, well, you know, Raj, you have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 women right here. Which one of us would you like to ask on a date? And he's like, and they're like, what's the closest to your type? He's like, well, there's a trait that each one of you have that's special, right, girlfriends?
And they're like, yeah, but which one would you date? He's like, I would get a big limo and I would go out with all of you.
And where would we go to, Raj?
Me, because I've been to paradise. Am I right?
So, it's over. So then everyone leaves and they get in their cars and leave. And so Lavina and Amrit's dad get into the car and she's kind of freaking out. She's like, I need to talk to you. I mean, you know, what's bothering me is why didn't I get the same feeling when Roy was going to propose? You know, am I not being fair or is it just because this is different? Because I'm not seeing this, like, and you know, when our other son got engaged, we called all of our friends and our family, and now I don't even know what to say. Like, who's my son engaged to? A boy.
And so the dad is.
This basically was intense, and I can't believe they even got this all. And I guess they just told him, "Okay, we won't shoot it. Just keep your mics on and talk."
They probably didn't even tell him anything. They probably just got in the car, you know. So, but it was very like intense and not that it was intense, it was just like a very, very real moment and like really shows these conflicts, especially amongst people of older generations that are maybe torn between a way that they were raised and the way the world is now. And so Amrit's dad is like, okay, so like, here's my take from what you're saying. Like, we were kind of in a middle ground of acceptance and denial, you know, acceptance that he has a life partner he's comfortable with, but also in denial that it's a boy and it's boy and boy and not a girl. And she's like, no, I've come to terms with it. I mean, I tell everyone my son is gay. And he's like, well, you know, you say it up front, but are you really accepting it inside of you? And she's like, I am. I'm accepting Nicholas in our lives. I mean, I wish I could go tell everybody. I wish I could go tell everyone. He goes, well, then that's what I'm trying to say. You're not accepting it because he's basically saying, like, the fact that you're saying, I wish I could tell everyone shows that you haven't truly accepted it. And then she goes, okay, I've accepted it now. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, she's like, okay, I accept it. So what are we going to do about my mom? You know, because we can't do this without telling my mom. And he says, don't worry. What will be done. And it will be taken care of. Don't worry. Which is so sweet. So this whole scene.
And then, you know, it ended on this strangely very sweet note of him going, okay, so shall we go home now? She goes, yes. He goes, awesome. And I was like, I don't know why that was just... It was kind of, I don't know, it was like such a real like a real way to end that conversation, like, hey, this is not a big deal. Don't worry about it. We're going to go home. And there was something like, I felt like there was something almost like poetic about it. Like, cause like at the end of the day, there will be a home. Like they have each other, they have their family. Like that's what matters the most. I don't know. It was like, it seemed to like hit these strange layers, and it just was so beautifully like mundane that I was like, oh my God, this show's amazing.
Yeah. So then we're at Brian's, and Dr. Monica's coming over, and, you know, wacky Brian stashed his laundry away. He's too much of a stud to get his laundry done. I don't know why this guy's annoying me so much. I really don't.
I don't know.
I think it's because he winks at the camera so much.
Mm. Yeah, maybe. By the way, I just want to say that I'm ceasing communication with Manda. She said, cool to meet you. It's so nuts, but you sound pretty cool. You're not a stalker, are you, LMAO? So I think now is the time when I actually have to block her number. It was fun, but I don't want to deal with it anymore. Sorry, Manda. That concludes that storyline.
So Monica comes over, and they're going to play wacky tricks because they're a prank family. Okay. So she's bought fake roaches to trick Brian and make him freak out. And then we see clips of them pranking each other with plastic snakes before.
Yeah.
I was like, someone needs to cheat on somebody soon. Okay.
I know. And then this, like, this roach joke that they try to do doesn't even work out smoothly because they basically put the roach on her jacket. And then she's like, hey, Brian, can you bring my jacket in? And he's like, sure. And he just like picks up the jacket without even looking. So just know, by the way, Monica, that you're dating a guy who won't even check for roaches on your jacket. Cause then they're all like, oh, Brian, what's that? What's that, Brian? He's like, what's that thing on the chair, Brian? Look at the chair. Is that a cockroach on the chair, Brian? What? And look right below. It's like, oh my God, how much do you have to spell this out for him?
And then he screams really loud because it's a prank. So he has to. But also you said, wow, you're dating a guy who won't even check your jacket for roaches. If I was dating a guy who checked my jacket for roaches, I'd break the fuck up with him. Who does? Like, what do you think? I got roaches in my jacket? No, seriously?
No, the point is that he's not detail oriented.
It's like, hey, Ronnie, here's your jacket. Let me just check it for roaches.
Okay. No,
see if there's any rat shit in your pocket.
Don't you want to date someone if your jacket is sitting somewhere, he's gonna like look at the jacket to see if there's anything crawling on it? No. It's not checking it, looking in the pockets. It's not like doing a pat down of your jacket. It's just having like basic survival instincts.
God. Oh. Okay. So let's see. Brian. Brian and Monica go to her room, the guest room. And
did your mom yell at you about that once? I feel like your mom yelled at you, like, Ronnie, you don't even check for roaches, dude. That happened once.
No, it's just such a weird thing. Like, wow, the guy I date better check my jacket for roaches. I would just be so offended. Like, am I that disgusting that you think I have roaches all over my jacket?
No, but in Los Angeles, you never know where a roach is going to climb up onto your jacket. So, I'd want someone to check for me in case I was busy.
All right. Well, noted. You know?
Yeah.
I'll get that passed on to the love of your life.
You know what? When we go on tour, Ronnie, when we go back on tour, guess what? I just won't look for roaches on your jacket. I'll just hand you your jacket.
Yeah, if you ever do that, I'll be fucking offended. You're like, hold on, Ronnie, just checking and making sure you don't got roaches again. Okay, so Brian and Monica are having a discussion in the guest room, and she's like, excuse me, this is my room. And he's like, I mean, come on, it's not like we don't stay in hotels together. She's like, yeah, but we have to respect our parents. So then he talks about how it would be good if she moved down to Miami to do rheumatology for a while, and then he can go to Tampa maybe. And she's like, forever? He goes, She's like, okay, let's just revisit this, okay? But we do need to solidify the next step.
Yeah, and he's like what? She goes, the next step. Like what? The next step. Oh, checking for roaches on your jacket? I can totally do that.
He's like, well, I mean, it reverts back to Q1. Is that what you mean?
I like Brian making the doctor give up her successful position that she has like gone to many years of school for to come to Miami where he's, you know, living at home with his mom. Doesn't seem like he's even getting the free laundry because he just has the laundry all over his room. Is he getting his free laundry service? It just seems like he should move to the doctor. The doctor should not have to give up everything to move to him.
And she's basically saying, like, look, you're asking me to move, but it's kind of a big commitment. You know, I would need some kind of insurance. And he's like, are we talking carrots? And she goes, we can. And he tells us, I'm not ready. I mean, this is the longest relationship I've ever been in. Okay. You just can't throw me in the fire. I'll burn. Okay. This isn't fire, sir.
Yeah, it's not.
It's like committing to somebody that you're dating. You fuck boy. I'm not falling for it. Okay. I'm not falling for it again.
So now we go over to Amrit, and now we are moving into the part of the episode that people really care about. So Amrit is driving. He's heading to his parents' house, and he's calling his brother and telling him that he's going to come out to Nani, and that he's going to be doing it. Nicholas won't be there because he just wants it to be, you know, him and his parents. And he talks about how he came out to his parents at law school graduation, and Lavina tells us that she felt like the rug was pulled out from under her feet, and like. But now she looks at him and she looks at the strength and courage he had, and she said that she wishes that she knew earlier and that she could have supported him when he was struggling so much. And I was like, oh, Lavina, she's so sweet. So sweet.
Yeah. And he's like, oh my God, I've had to come out of the closet like so many times at this point. It's like PTSD. Okay. I just want to hide. I'm like 8 years old again. I just want to hide. And, so his uncle, or he calls his brother, which is really sweet. His brother's really supportive. And then Lavina's getting ready. You know, she's getting the tea ready. Mm-hmm. And so it's time. And she goes, I hope she understands what is gay. Like, yeah. She's not really sure what they're getting into at all here, right? And so she tells us that ever since Amrit was a child, he's been in awe of weddings. And she's like, you know, in those days, it was a woman and a man, and women just loved him. And that's why I was so surprised.
Yeah, he had all those female friends. So then, you know, like, Suresh is like, you know, everything has a time and a place where things happen, so you just have to let it flow, you know? And then Lavina's like, well, thank you for your support, babe. You've always been there for me through my life, you know? He goes, well, that's what I signed up for. So it's like another super sweet moment between them.
It's cute because she says, you've always been there for me in all my lives. I mean, that's cute.
Yeah. That is right. That. Yeah, she did say it, all my lives. I mean, it's also funny because, like, she said that they basically were an arranged marriage, and she was like, eh, when she first met him, and then now they, like, can't imagine lives without each other. Yeah. So, and then she talks about how when Amrit came out, like, or he cried a lot, and that he was disappointed for himself and then for us, and now he's disappointed. Now it's facing Nani.
So she goes to get Nani. So they're bringing Nani out. And
Nani is basically senior citizen Dorinda, by the way. That's what I decided. Like, Dorinda in like 40 years is going to be Nani.
She's so cute and she's so smiley and just, you know, so happy to be there and stuff. And they tell us about Nani's life, how she could write volumes about her life. You know, she had a bunch of kids and then she lost two children and she built an entire business in India just to support her family. Yeah. And Amrit's like, yeah, she's a rock star. It was about all of us. It was never about herself. Mm-hmm. And she's so cute. And then the uncle comes over for support. And he's like, whiskey or tea?
Yeah. And so and Nani is so happy to see Amrit. Like, her face lights up. You know, she's just so proud. And she just loves her grandson. And everyone's being all nice and everything. And, you know. And so Amrit starts up and he's like, so, Nani, you know, I love you very much. And she's like, oh, I miss you. And he's like, Nani, there's one thing I have to tell you about me. I'm different. And she's like, about you? He's like, yeah, I'm different, you know? And she's like, no, I don't know. And so then the uncle is like, are you understanding? He's trying to tell you something. And she's like, okay, tell me. And he's like, I'm different than Rohit. I'm different than Pavan because... remember my friend Nicholas? Nicholas is my love. At which point I'm like, now, like, fully starting to choke up. I'm like sitting there on the sofa, I'll be like,
because he's just so terrified, you know, like he is so nervous. Mm-hmm. And she's so sweet, you know. And so he says, yeah, he's my love. And she goes, friend, where is she, your friend? Where is she now? Is she? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, no, Nicholas, we're gonna get married. I love Nicholas. And it's silence, and she's just kind of looking around, and she goes, this I don't like.
Yeah.
And Lavina's like, mommy, would you like him to be alone the rest of his life? And she goes, well, but you could get any girl. You could go get a girl.
Yeah, because Lavina's like, it's not working with girls for him. It's not working. She's like, well, get so many girls. Get a girl, you know? And like at this moment, you know, all season long, they've been teasing this moment. And in my mind, honestly, I felt like what was going to happen was she would say, I love you no matter what. It's fine. So when she said, this I don't like, it was like, oh, dear. This is real right now. This is not like, you know, reality show magic. This is Nani saying, find a girl, like literally any lady, find her right now. So,
and Lavinia's like, well, do you want him not to be happy? And they're all telling her, you want him to be happy, right? And she says, well, do what you want. I can't do anything. Yeah. And he says, but I want to tell you because I love you. And she says, but you know, you're not getting married. I mean, there's any girl. Don't you want to get married? Like, she's telling him, don't you want to really get married? Like,
yeah. And Lavina's
like, do this in the real way.
Yeah. And Lavina's like, he will be getting married to Nicholas. And Nani's like, okay, he will get married to him. And Amrit's like, it's okay. And Nani's like, he's like, it's okay. I don't like it. It's okay. I don't like it. And so Anil, the uncle, is like, mommy, he's happy. That is most important. You want your grandchildren to be happy. And so Nani's like, okay, whatever you'd like. So you kind of get the feeling like she's like, I'm not going to argue about this. Like, I don't have the energy. Someone just get me my brandy right now. But Lavina's like, listen, like, you have to like, you know, mommy, like, you, like, why, like, why are you telling him you're not happy? You have to be happy for him. That makes him sad, you know?
So then, and I love this. He goes, listen, he takes care of me and he cooks me dinner. And she goes, yeah, I see that he looks after you and he makes food. Okay.
Does he make you tilapia? Yes, Nani. Oh, well, that why don't is you leave
so
with that?
This show. That is so this show. He makes me food. It's like, okay, you know what? Food transcends all sexualities.
It's true.
Like lifestyles.
She's like, well, you know, this has been taboo for all, you know, 150 years I've been alive, but he's going to make you food. So, and he's like, well, and we'll have kids. We're going to have kids. He's like, she goes, okay, God bless you. And so she kisses him on the cheek, right? Which ultimately is like, she may be disappointed, but what she's saying in that moment is like, I'm just, what matters more than my disappointment is you being happy, right? And then Lavina is talking about Nicholas, and she goes, you know, he's a very nice boy. And Nani goes, I like him. And Amr says, well, and he loves you too. And Suresh says, he's a very good human being. And Nani says, so you like him, no? And Amr says, yeah. And he goes, and then the uncle says, we all like him. And Lavina says, like, are you okay? She goes, I'm not scared now. I'm very proud to say my son is gay. It's called gay. So now Nani asks for a tissue because she says, water is coming from my eyes. Which is like very Lucille Bluth, by the way. Like, what is this thing?
Yeah, my eyes? I'm leaking.
There's
I'm
water leaking. In my eyes.
And so Lavina says, do you have the same blessing as you did for Rohit? Because you have to bless them also, you know, because Lavina's kind of, you know, also taking her own issues and telling her mom, like, we're gonna get through this, you know, like, right. you are gonna be happy, you are gonna bless them, damn it.
And, yeah, it was actually, by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, I thought what was actually kind of remarkable about the scene was not just like she said, okay, you do it, and then they just drop it, that they really kind of pressed the mom to be happy, to really understand what was going on and why this was important and why she should be happy. And the fact that it was like the mom, the dad, and the uncle all coming together for Amrit was like very, very special, I thought.
Yeah. So Amrit's like, I'm getting brandy. So he goes inside to get some booze. And Lavina's telling her, listen, we have to be happy. You know, will you be able to call the aunties and say he's engaged to a boy? And she's like, what do I do? You know, I have to tell them. I have to tell everybody. Well, I don't have to tell everybody. And she's like, but don't feel ashamed. We're going to do this proudly.
Yeah. And like, proudly. Yes, proudly.
Amrit's kind of upset. You know, he's like, well, this is just life. This is what killed me when he said, this is life. It's disappointment. You know, it's just always going to be life when you're gay, when you come out, you know, because it's always going to be that 50% happy and that 50% disappointment, you know. And that really, I was like,
that
oh
was,
my
yeah,
God. I've never heard it really put like that.
Well, I felt bad also that that's, you know, and I actually don't know if that's that's how it is for some people. The percentages change in both directions, but I felt it was really heartbreaking to hear him say that he was really just like, he was really registering with the disappointment side of that equation, which is really, you know, it's sad and unfortunately very real. And Anani is like, she's like, listen, if you're happy, I'm happy. And then like she just kisses him on the cheek and just says, I'm happy. And then, you know, and then the uncle is like, listen, if my mother's happy, I'm happy. And Lavina says, and if my mother and brother and son are happy, I'm happy. And then it's just like this amazing, beautiful family moment that's all coming together. And then Lavina starts saying that she wants to have a big wedding. And Nani says, well, if you want to get married, marry today. She's basically like, listen, while I'm alive, if you're going to do this, then I want to be there.
Yeah. So they all do a cheers. And he's like, we'll do it now. You know, we'll do it so you can come. And then Lavina, they're sitting in the interview and Lavina's like, so we're done with this gay thing. She's like, I feel so free. Else. I feel so open. Her coming out, you know. And yeah. Amrit's like, yeah, you know, we still got to go through a lot of gay stuff, Mom. You know, we've got to get the his and his wedding outfits and the two fathers on the birth certificate. But we are done with the explaining it part.
Yeah. So then they FaceTime Nicholas and they tell Nicholas. Lavina goes, Nani loves you. And Nicholas is like, oh my god. So can we talk about the tilapia real quickly? Is that coming tonight or are we gonna send that over to me tomorrow? I just want to clarify.
So yeah, he's so happy because they're like, she loves you, she really loves you. And he's like, you know, I'm not speechless, but I, you know, I also don't have words. Does that make any sense? And Lavina's like, I have a word, Nicholas. Protein. He's like, oh my god, mother.
Yeah, it was just like a gut-wrenching episode. It was great. It really was. So if you feel like a good cry and you haven't watched it yet, have it, go have at it. It's gonna be, it's a big one. I actually honestly felt like if that episode were submitted, I don't know if it may actually be, it's just slightly too late, but I think it could actually get an Emmy nomination because it was that powerful. And it's not like quote unquote trashy like the other Bravo shows. Guess we'll find out. But I think actually Emmy voting closed like a day ago, 2 days ago. So it may not be even eligible. So anyway, thank you all for listening. Congratulations to the Kapai family for going through that. And we're going to be back tomorrow with some Below Deck Mediterranean. We'll see you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels. Dana C.
Dana Do.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
My Favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No One Makes Us Feel Well Like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's Get Racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.